Drive to the Hardline. Enter at your own risk.
He rode a blazing saddle. He wore a shining star. His job to offer battle to bad men near and far. He conquered fear and he conquered hate. He turned dark night into day. He made his blazing saddle a torch to light the way.
Blazing Saddles, ladies and gentlemen. Blazing Saddles.
45 years ago today, it hit the theaters.
So this was what, your first birthday?
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome.
It's the nicest thing anyone's ever said to me. You're special.
Absolutely. Rex Sharp, who is the head trainer at the University of Missouri, used to quote this movie all the time. And if you want to impress Rex Sharp or get on his good side and just have some fun, go up and quote Blazing Saddles. He thinks it's the best movie ever made, and he thinks it's the funniest thing in the world.
It's a great film. It's a great film.
There's nothing about it that isn't funny. Gene Wilder is perfect in it, and Mel Gibson plays, not Mel Gibson,
The Passion of the Christ.
And no, Mel Brooks plays the mayor in the funniest way possible.
No, the governor.
Governor, in the best way possible. And then I can't remember who his main lackey, I don't know why, but
Harvey Korman.
The line that has always stuck with me the most. No. The one, Korman's lackey. Somebody's got to go back and get a bleep load of dimes. I don't know why,
that's
but
so
that,
weird.
It's
one of my all-time favorite lines.
It's so perfect because I don't know why, but like
they're in the desert and they put up
a toll booth. The arm is surrounded by just miles of desert to each side.
See, that's what we need at our border.
So good.
And then when they come up from Guatemala, so translated to Espanol, of course. Somebody go back and get a bleep load of dimes.
Such a almost lost $300 on a handcart. such a good movie.
And I noticed that a couple of it couldn't be made today because
most of any movie made before 2007 can't be made today.
The racial insight that was brilliant, but on the edge, people would. You know, their hair would catch on fire.
Yeah,
but it was brilliant.
This is why no one in Virginia right now is allowed to govern the city or the state. I suppose
the state. Yeah.
Yes, thank you.
I will just leave you with this. No blackface
in the movie.
I will just leave you with this, and then we can get back to sports. Remember, the sheriff is near.
Yeah. See that I don't like.
What did he say?
Was it a commercial success at first, or did it pop off like? Popular from the get-go?
I don't know. I remember seeing it when I was a kid.
Okay.
That's
the one thing exactly.
I was a teenager, yeah.
That's right.
I kind of want to see, because that's the one thing I wonder, is there's a lot of movies that that are great now, but you don't realize that the first year they were out or so, they didn't do that great, and it's just kind of been, eventually people caught on that they were genius, but
yeah,
I actually got to look at that, because I have no idea about this. I don't know. I feel like, and then, honestly, the last part of the movie is filmmaking genius when he crosses when the fight breaks over into the opera scene and breaking down the fourth wall to that level at that early of a time is just incredible.
Again, you referenced it at the top of the hour. If we had video, I would do the bit for you.
Yep,
they're having the pie fight in the studio commissary, and Harvey Korman had been in the men's room, his character, and he comes out and he mouths. It just kills me. The whole thing is so insane.
And just like every other Mel Brooks movie, it's sophomoric while being erudite at the same time,
It's the exact same time.
And Gene Wilder just absolutely from the get go when you first meet him, when his hand flies off the way it does, it's all shaking. The movie's just it's genius, and I'm so glad my parents had no issue with showing it to me when I was like 12 years old.
You know,
probably too young for it.
Brooks, one of the people he talked to about having Gene Wilder's role was John Wayne, and John Wayne said, "I can't do it, but I'll be the first in line to see it." So he got, he had given him the script and wanted him to do it. And so he got it, and he got the humor. And I thought that was a great way to you know, a great way to handle that.
I'm just reading parts of the synopsis, and little things are coming up, like when Mel Brooks plays the Yiddish-speaking Indian chief.
They talking to us.
It's the again, TJ, I guess you haven't actually seen it. You just knew somebody who quoted it a lot.
Yeah.
You have to watch it. It's so freaking funny.
All right. Well,
Candygram for Mongo.
You'd appreciate it.
Candygram for Mongo.
We will revisit this at some point. I do like
after
it.
You watch the film.
Yes. A couple news and notes.
Okay.
A little bit of we need to start doing a segment, not a segment, maybe just pick 10 minutes of. There are a ton of news and notes we never get to because we have more fun conversations that and you can't
that go down rabbit holes that we never get back. Yeah.
Well, no, I like those.
You're right. That's what I'm saying. But we don't. Then we lose time for actual news.
And these aren't topics. They're just news and notes. So we need to make about 10 minutes for news and notes at some point, but probably not today. Ryan O'Reilly, happy birthday. The only redeeming quality of the first half of the Blues season. It is his birthday, and this dad's trip is pretty cool for all these guys. Listening to these guys talk about it, every sport needs to do a dad's trip. I mean, I know that hockey has their own little thing, but that is pretty awesome. When you look up top after a guy scores a goal and all the dads are high-fiving,
that's pretty cool. It really is.
Obviously, that wouldn't work the same in football. You can't do a dad's trip when you know you're going out to San Francisco one time, and then you go back for a week. And then, so
also, it's a little bit harder to do a dad's trip with 53 dads. As opposed
not
to
really.
15.
It's a 68,000 seat stadium.
Yeah.
You could do it pretty easy. It
might be hard to do. It might be a little bit tricky to do.
Traveling
the
with
140,
the, team might
be tough. The 140 guys at the bar that night.
Might be fun,
again,
though.
It's going to be fun.
Got to go to a big bar.
It's going to be fun. It's just the logistics
okay.
are a little bit more.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. Also, Carl Gunnarsson out tonight. He is, I think it was an upper body injury, so. Robert Bertuzzo in. He will be on the third pairing with Vince Dunn. And they changed that up. The forward lines are the same. The D pairings changed up a bit. Edmondson, Petrangelo, Bomeister, Parayko, and Dunn Bertuzzo. So news and notes there. By the way, Jordan Binnington in goal again tonight. And that is a net benefit for your St. Louis Blues. Yes, Rock.
They mentioned at the end of the last show because they were breaking news. I know we didn't want to get right into it, but there is some breaking news in the NBA for a former first overall pick as Markelle Fultz is being moved to the Orlando Magic.
What'd they get for him? I was
That's,
reading yesterday.
That, I don't
they
know.
They were trying really hard to get a first rounder.
It looks like Woj literally just broke it a moment ago as you were talking.
Yeah.
So we haven't seen the conversation
I
yet.
I am really surprised that they could move him at all because it seemed like they didn't want to budge. But when they picked up, I'm blanking on his name. What's his name from who just hit the game?
Something
shot?
Just happened. This just in.
Yeah, Woj just sent out the compensation. This is unbelievable. The Magic are sending Jonathan Simmons, solid wing player for the Sixers overall, a first-round pick and a second-round pick to the Sixers.
Jeez.
The fact that the Sixers are pulling off a first-round pick from a team who's going to be in the mid-teens might even fall into the might even be a lottery team. That's some working by the. Sixers, I didn't expect, especially after they gave up so much for Tobias Harris yesterday.
That's what I'm thinking of. Tobias, they have a legit four now. Tobias Harris is no slouch. If they can re-sign Butler somehow, the Sixers are in really good shape for a while here. Markelle Fultz was more of a distraction than he was any type of help. If you've ever seen him shoot, I do hope he can come back from that at some point. We've had this discussion about the yips. His shot is definitionally the yips. It is like Charles Barkley's hitch in his swing. That he somehow is sort of fixed now. He's still got a crap swing, but he doesn't have this crazy hitch. Typically, you don't recover from the yips. Rock did point out one guy, John Lester, who has, to some degree, I still don't think it's great, but there's no
we'll
longer
see.
This mental block to first play, fourth base.
We'll see. Most of the people who have had the monster, they call it, at a pretty high level, that you
tame it.
You suppress it. But that it's always there lurking. So we'll see. I hope maybe Lester's the first one to ever that will ever beat it. Maybe. We'll see. I'm hopeful because I read Ankiel's book. I read a lot about Steve Blass from the 70s for many, many years, really until Ankiel. It was called the Steve Blass disease. And so whether it's a pitcher throwing to first base, excuse me, my voice is rough today, whether it's a pitcher trying to find the plate, whether it's a second baseman who can't throw to first, whether it's a catcher who can't throw back to the pitcher,
Did you go out drinking with Cam last night or something?
I should have. I'd probably feel better. And so it's really the thing that they all say is that it never leaves. And and Keel, people forget, after he had it, he went back to the minor leagues and was really pretty good for about, I want to say, a year and a half, to the point they were going to let him come back, or he had earned his way back to take a look, and he had to walk away and then decided to come back as an outfielder.
Jeez.
It's really something that they just can't figure out yet. But maybe Lester has.
Yeah, I hope he hasn't, and we will get to this later, but Pakoda thinks the Cubs have not fixed anything. So we'll dive into that a bit. I do want to do a little bit of NBA talk here. Rock, do you have the Kevin Durant audio that I sent you a little bit earlier? Kevin Durant sort of, I don't know if this was unsolicited, but I kind of think it was, because you wouldn't ask him a question that would lead to this type of answer. He was talking to the media yesterday, and Kevin Durant gets really sensitive about twice a year. And go back and look.
Well, before this, he was getting sensitive the entire year. Just none of us knew it was his Twitter account.
That's a good point, Rock. That's well done. This is Kevin Durant yesterday goes on just a stupid rant.
By the way, this needs to be said. This was the first time in 9 days that Kevin Durant had spoken to the Golden State media. He had been avoiding them for 9 days. Mind you, Anthony Davis handed in his official trade request 10 days ago, and Kristaps Porzingis was traded 7 days ago. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say that those two things are connected in any way, shape, or form, but why not just stop doing a part of your job for 9 days straight?
I will give you some context on this as soon as you hear it, but here is Kevin Durant and a little bit of his rant with the media yesterday, I believe.
Necessary. You got a dude, Ethan Strauss, who come in here and just give his whole opinion on stuff and make it seem like it's coming from me. And he just walk around here, don't talk to nobody, just walk in here and survey and then write something like that. And now y'all piling on me because I don't want to talk to y'all about that. I have nothing to do with the Knicks. I don't know who traded Porzingis. They got nothing to do with me. I'm trying to play basketball. Y'all come here every day, ask me about free agency, ask my teammates, my coaches, you rile up the fans about it. Y'all let us play basketball. That's all I'm saying. And now when I want to talk to y'all, it's a problem with me. Come on, man. Grow up. Grow up. Yeah, you grow up. Come on, bro. I come in and go to work every day. I don't cause no problems. I play the right way. Well, I try to play the right way. I try to be the best player I can be at every position.
So, I like it.
Okay, a couple things I want to address.
I really like it.
The reason this is stupid is because, one, he singled out a guy and says, grow up. This is coming from a guy who felt the need to defend himself through burner accounts for his entire career.
I'm not suggesting he's not hypocritical or even immature, but his points are well taken, I think.
Maybe. Here's the only thing. Let me address a couple of these things real quick. The only thing is that if you don't want people to project where you may be, stop signing one-year deals, because that's exactly what's going to happen. If you go out and sign a four-year deal like LeBron just did with L.A., nobody's asking him where he's going to be. They're asking where all his teammates are going to be because he's trying to ship them all out of town.
But as I understood, and I didn't hear the whole interview, so I'm taking an opinion from a quote out of context, literally out of context. But what I heard him saying was, you guys are saying I'm a problem because I don't want to talk to you. So,
because that's part of his job. That's in his contract. The NBA requires you to talk to the media.
Yeah, but he doesn't want to.
Well, that doesn't matter. Don't get paid then, right?
Okay. But that's up to him.
Here's
to make.
My thing is,
but you're allowed
why
to get criticism.
Though. Why doesn't he want you? To TJ's point, he stopped talking to the media. He said he's mad at the media because they're asking about free agency. Well, it's a legitimate question. And second of all, my thing there was I think he's been avoiding the media for the exact reasons I was joking around with, because I'm being partially serious. I think he totally knows that people are going to are talking about him having a backdoor deal with the Knicks to sign there, and that's why they traded Porzingis.
And that might be
true. Here's the thing. He brought up Porzingis unprompted in his answer there.
No,
that was odd.
It wasn't unprompted. It went,
he was only asked about his free agency.
I know, but he's talking about the story.
It
wasn't
true,
unprompted. In
but
the story,
no one in that press conference brought up Kristaps Porzingis, Kevin Durant.
I know, but understand, he was looking right at a guy saying, stop lying about me, because in that story, they did bring up Porzingis, and the guy acted like he got the information from KD. That is the only rational part of his rant here, where he says, you're acting like I'm talking to you, and I'm not talking to you, so stop writing about it. That is rational. The rest of what he said is absolute crap, and he's a total
hypocrite. The only thing is, despite what the contract says, the media doesn't have subpoena power. I don't have to talk to you. I can give you, you want to interview me? No comment. Okay, there, I talked to you. So we don't have subpoena power. And we got to get off our high horse a little bit, especially when we're talking about somebody that doesn't want to be talked about. Mm-hmm. Okay, but your job is to write about him. Well, go ahead and write it. But if he doesn't want to deal with the way you, I mean,
do you see how this is hypocritical though? Because what he's saying is, stop.
I didn't say he wasn't a hypocrite.
I'm with you. So this is the premise of what I'm saying. He doesn't want to talk to the media. So the media writes their stories anyway, and now he's coming back to the media and saying, stop writing your stories and acting like I'm talking to you when I'm not talking to you. And they're saying, then talk to us, and I'm not in anything. What I'm telling you is, here's what I think's going on, and I have talked to people. Yes, it isn't you, Kevin Durant, because you won't talk to us, even though it's in your contract. And without the media, I'm with you. I think the media in general is on this giant tower, and they're looking down at the world. I hate the media, and I'm part of it. We think we're so self-important, it is ridiculous. But I do know that.
Also, Kevin Durant thinks he's pretty important for playing basketball and getting paid like $30 million.
You're 100% right on that.
Again, I didn't say he wasn't hypocritical.
This, I think, is unquestionable. Without the media, sports are infinitely less popular.
Right, and you don't know me that well, but I've always said, look, the media is the conduit to the people. If there are a million fans you can't talk to a million people.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's up to the media to convey that. But if we're not doing our job right, it bugs me when we will stir something up, we'll take a little nugget and blow it way up so we'll have a story. But then when it's too, and this is really more sports media, but then we won't really do the work to find out the real answers. Let me give you a baseball example. This year, mystery teams in on Harper and Machado. How big of a mystery can it be? Did you call all the teams? They're being secretive. Well, did you get in your car and follow an executive? Are you staking out Machado's house? If you hired a private, if you're really a journalist and you wrote about the mystery team, so you must think it's important. Find out who it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's maybe most of us got into sports because we don't really have the cojones to do news. I don't know.
Well, I think we could argue against it. I actually agree with everything. I do think there's an argument against it, though. The argument against it would be Scott Boras, knowing there is no mystery team, is in bed with these guys because he gives them access and information. He says, please report this to drive up the price. And then there is nothing to investigate, but they report it anyway because they're dishonest for access.
That's the other side of it that is disingenuous.
That's right. But it's how you get to access, right? It's like you do a couple favors for guys to make sure you
and
get the
slimy.
Real scoop later.
And you got to do it, but it's slimy.
Exactly right.
Okay, so we're on the same page.
Yes, I totally agree with you. If that's there to be made, I just think there's another side of the business that says there's no need for that because you already know. There was a time where investigative journalism, as it related to this kind of stuff, was way more important. Now they just talk directly to the agents and owners and whoever else, and they get the real story, and they say, but don't you dare say a word about it.
Right.
And they're stuck. So anyway, bringing it back to Kevin Durant, I think the media in general, I was watching something on SportsCenter today, the reason the media is important, and again, we have such an inflated idea of who we are. We are so small, especially individually, right? Big ESPN is really important. Rachel Nichols, not really that important, right? Just put somebody else in the chair. That is more my issue. But big ESPN, big FS1, you know, big CBS, they're very important. The reason why is this. Anderson Silva, when was the last time you heard his name? When he snapped his leg on somebody's knee on, I forget the Christian something, on his knee. And I have not heard about him, but they just did an in-depth story on him and his PED bus. He's had two of them since 2015 now, and gave you an inside scoop. And now he's got way more fans as of this morning. He's the only reason, whoever did the interview with him, See, I don't even know who it is. That tells you how important they are. Is the only reason that he's on my mind today, that I'm talking about him at all.
Because it was on.
And that is the media. The media gives you a conduit to these players, which makes you feel like you can connect to them, which makes you feel like it'll be fun to go watch them because you know about, you know, Tom Brady and his two kids and, you know, his wife Giselle that they keep panning to on TV and all that. And you feel like you know them, so you want to go support them, and we're all buddies. If they just show up and throw three touchdowns, are you that interested? Maybe a few people, but not nearly as interested as the story behind the scenes. So the media is important in that way. Kevin Durant is the most self-conscious.
I agree with that. And self-aware. Too self-aware.
Well, I think you can make an argument that he's not self-aware. He's self-conscious. Self-aware typically means you know your limitations and your flaws, and I don't think he knows any of them.
I think sometimes, though, that can play out in everybody's looking at me even when they're really not. Self-conscious, maybe. Okay.
Yeah, and narcissism.
Yeah.
Which we all have. In this industry, we do, too. But, yeah, he's very self-conscious, and he wants so bad to be LeBron, and he's not LeBron, and he's never going to be LeBron. So he joined the super team to go do, and now he fights against it. And he still makes his case, but he can't be the one making his case, so he does it through burner accounts. And now he can't do it through burner accounts anymore, so he's got nothing. So he just avoids the media altogether. And then he lashes out at the media, who's probably being dishonest, because I think a lot of the media has strayed away from a lot of the normal ethical behaviors that used to be the standard. But, dude, if you would give them a quote, a real one, with context, then maybe they wouldn't do that. Maybe they still would. But you know the guys who are really good with the media, LeBron, for instance, when have you ever seen a negative LeBron story? There's a few, mostly on Fox News, right? They disagree with his politics. But outside of that, the NBA writers, well, he's good to the media. He's nice to the media. He lets them in the house.
Oh, no question about it.
And when you do that, when you don't do that, have... It's like last year, they did talk about LeBron to L.A. We all sat in here and... But it wasn't like this. There was nothing about it that was, like, threatening to anybody. Mm-hmm. It was like, you know... I don't know. And LeBron basically told the media, hey, cool, would you, like, let me try to get my team through this. Yeah, we're probably not going to beat the Warriors, but give me a chance.
Because I don't blame a guy for not wanting to talk, but if you're smart, you can really play the sports media really easily.
No, and because the sports media, and you've talked a little bit about this, and I think you nailed it, a lot of them get in it, and they have to fight against wanting to be these guys' buddies because it makes them feel cool. I cover the sport. I'm right in there with the guys. Mm-hmm. I'm in the locker room. I talk to these guys. Well, then if you do give them something and allow them to feel a part of it, they'll be your friend forever. When I played, I had guys that I would tell things to, not for them to write it. I said, don't screw me on this. I just want you to know what's going on.
So you understand.
So you're not hammering my buddies who are, like, there's just more going on.
Yeah, because you don't know what's happening.
Don't report this. And nobody ever screwed me. You got to really trust your guys. I have never been an anonymous source my entire life. I don't believe in that crap. Put your name on what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But I have given people information that they promised not to write, so that they wouldn't write other things that were critical of something that was untrue. You follow me on that?
I do.
So, and I have done that. And I still do that occasionally when I know the ins and outs and I'm like, I'm seeing a guy really off track. And that's bad for the media because then they're misleading everybody to go down this
path. Because
we
read him or watch him or whatever.
And it sounds like a good opinion, but it's really off base because you don't know. So you just tell people what's going on. Say, don't screw me in this. But just so you know, and you can't write this until later, but you'll be the first one to get it still. Don't worry about it. That's all fair game. LeBron's great at that. LeBron plays the media like they're his puppets. KD is the absolute worst. KD needs to start taking notes. Now, I have an entire criticism for LeBron in the next segment because he's kind of an idiot, too, on his Instagram.
Look at you all NBA.
It's mostly that the NBA, we talked about this a little bit yesterday, the players in the NBA are so much more powerful than the players in any other sport. It's the reality. LeBron is single-handedly trying to dismantle the Lakers. You ever seen a guy on an NHL team try to disassemble his entire team? Major League Baseball, you've seen Max Scherzer try to get rid of any of his guys? Sure as hell it doesn't happen in football.
Right.
You may get rid of a receiver.
Mm-hmm.
You're not getting rid of your whole offensive line and picking up three new DNs. Ain't happening. But in basketball, guys can do it. It's a little bit different. LeBron specifically. So we'll get into that in a bit. But first, will you tell us about our friends over at Royal Banks?
Royal Banks of Missouri, 11 locations. Yeah, over the last few years, Royal Banks has grown, but they've never lost their neighborhood branch appeal. It feels like your hometown bank, no matter what branch you go into. Really, it's because it is. Royal Banks of Missouri, St. Louis owned, St. Louis run, and that's what we care about. And it helps us understand the marketplace, meaning you. We get what your goals are, what your needs, what your dreams are, and Royal Banks wants to partner with you to help you reach those financial goals. Right now, we have a suite of checking accounts where, where you can pick out your rewards. It's unbelievable. And all you have to do to qualify is do the things you'd do normally anyway. Monthly debit card purchases, monthly payments automatically come from your account. Accept your monthly statement electronically. That's what everybody does anyway. So therefore, my point is these checking accounts are unbelievable and ready for you at Royal Banks of Missouri. Royal Banks of Missouri, where better service means better banking. Member FDIC and equal housing lender.
Good stuff. Thank you, Bob Ramsey. You guys are listening to Hardline. 5-9 The Fan and KFNS, 5-9TheFan.com. It is 2:03. I think the snow has stopped here on a Thursday. We are going to be back in just a little bit. We're going to talk a little bit of LeBron. And the on-court stuff is so much less interesting than the off-the-court stuff in the NBA until the finals. It's just the truth. Rarely do we talk about on-the-court stuff. But we do have a couple of LeBron things. And I want to talk about these new Pecota projections that came out. Not super favorable for your St. Louis Cardinals as a team or individually. They have not been too kind to your own brand new star first baseman, Paul Goldschmidt. So we'll dive into that in just a few on the way back. It's Hardline.